Praise and thanks be unto our God for his grace, that also this morning we can be here in his presence, worshipping his name, thanking him. I don't know, but for me yesterday was a wonderful evening, a word of comfort, a word of joy, a word of edification. May God give us also today his word, to the honor of his name and for the praise of his glory. Now, before we pray together, I would like to read us a word from the Gospel of John, well known to all of us, from chapter 15, from verse 1. Here the Lord God speaks and points us to in what kind of way we have to come to him. Please permit me to say what we heard yesterday, that we want to remain in this fullness in Jesus Christ. Here in the Gospel of John, chapter 15, verse 1, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burnt. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Up to here, this precious and holy word. May God give us grace also this morning, that we abide in him, the living one, the true one, abiding in the only true God, so that he can purge us and sanctify us, so that we can bring forth fruit unto the glory of his name. Let us stand up and pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your grace and faithfulness. We thank you that you have given us grace, that we can come together in your presence, Lord. You know, we don't want anything, O God, only you, the only true one. We have no other longing and desire, only this one, to abide in you, to cling to you. For Lord in heaven, for from you we receive the sap, and we want to partake of it, O God, so that the fruit might be complete in you, so that we come into the perfect love. O Jesus Christ, help me, help us all, give us grace, that with open ears, open hearts and open eyes to recognize what's happening around us, so that your word can come into us and brings forth fruit for your praise. Bless, O God, also the lips through which you will speak. Bless your word and give grace to receive it. Amen. Amen. Heavenly Father, we come into your holy presence, O God, deeply touched of what has happened, being aware that we live in the last days. People are self-absorbed, high-minded, boastful, and what all goes with it. But you have a remnant, a divine seed, which looks down to the earth and at the same time looking up to heaven. Lord, we pray for all who are affected, for all brothers and sisters in the surroundings there, O Lord, for all who mourn, for all who feel pain. O beloved Lord, make soon an end to all trouble and return to take us home. Lord, we commit everything to you. Bless also our brother Hans Bauer. O Lord, bless all who call to you. Lord, who have put their hope in you. You know how it affected me. Lord, I have forgiven all, as you have forgiven me. Faithful God, bring many more to their senses. Make them still in your presence. Pull them away from every destructive and murderous influence and come upon them with your spirit and make all things well. Bless also us this morning and be with us by your grace. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. That I don't feel like this morning to stand here in the front, you can all imagine. It's a big difference whether one may sit in a service and can hear, or whether one has to stand in the front and speak. And the responsibility, right in this last time, to bring the Word of God is so great that one has to say, as Paul, with much trembling and hesitating, but with great confidence, I have brought unto you the word of the Lord. It's not an easy thing. And as James writes, let not everybody dare to become a teacher. We are not here to judge, but at such occasions, it goes very deep into the heart. And what would I wish more than that all interpretations, all explanations, all the doctrines which do not line up with the Holy Scripture that they would be laid aside and that the people of God could be gathered before the Lord. Nobody with his program, with his opinions and teachings, but each one in the program of God, in the doctrine of God, in the will of God, in the kingdom of God, in the church of God, that this divine unity would be finally established. As far as we understand the Holy Scripture, there will at the end be a church without spot and without wrinkle, as at the beginning, one heart and one soul. The divine love joins us with one another and with God. But the word which Brother Schmidt read also touched my heart. I don't believe that there is a more terrible word as that in all of the Holy Scripture. And perhaps this shocked you now a bit, but I read you this verse, which I mean. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. A branch on the Lord, on the vine, not a stranger, not someone standing outside, no tear, no false wheat, no atheist, a branch on the divine vine. This is that what must be taken to heart. You can all read it again for yourself. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. Every branch in me on the vine, not a wild shoot, a branch on the vine. And if it doesn't bring forth divine fruit, it will be cut off, taken away. A precious branch is at the end, in this case, is of no other use than to be thrown into the fire to be burned. I'm asking you, is there a word which can be more terrible, a statement in the Holy Scripture that has more weight, that is more serious than this scripture which we read? Then it makes us to think about it, where our spiritual stand really is. Not what we think, but as God sees us. What are you and I in the eyes of God? Are we branches on the vine which have still life in them, which bring forth fruit? Branches blessed by God, in which his life pulsate and is. You all know, the vine doesn't bring forth any fruit, but the branches bear the fruit. And we are the branches. He is the vine. We, as branches, bear the fruit of the vine. Not my, not your, not our fruit, his fruit. the fruit of the Spirit, the divine life which is in Christ, the vine must be in you and in me. Everything else does not count. It cannot exist before God. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit. We want to be part of this second group, being branches which bring forth fruit, branches in which still is divine life, although it could not break through yet. And nevertheless, I believe that God has placed us into Christ, and that we as branches may be in Him divine, and that we have this longing in us to manifest His fruit. Here it says, now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. The whole mystery is related to the word of God. Now ye are clean through the word. You are clean by the washing of the word. You have received the spiritual circumcision. Ye are in me. I have ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. Here it is not only about a knowledge. Here it is about that, what God planned with the church. But what happens when people were cleansed by the washing by the word, namely through that word which God has spoken to us, which He clearly and truly revealed, and they again return and defile themselves with all interpretations and explanations? What good is a washing if one later on looks worse than one looked like before? And when we hear there the many interpretations and explanations, then it tears apart our heart once again. And we time and again said it, and will continue to do it until the end. God is the God of His word. Never He will go beyond His word. The Holy Scripture is the sealed and finished testimony of Jesus Christ and contains the whole counsel of our God. And it's written in the last chapter, whoever adds unto the words of the book of this prophecy, on him the plagues will come. It's such a serious matter which people cannot consider because they don't become still anymore. They are busy. They are filled with a thing and don't know what drives them and what makes them to act like this. He who is born of God, he abides in God. And whoever abides in God abides in His word. What was the transgression at the beginning? It was the transgression, the going out from the limits of the Word of God. The Lord, by His grace, in these last days, has given us a pure washing in His Word. And we may make this word our own and believe it and call out to one another, "Ye are clean because of the word which I have spoken to you." I don't believe that a Paul and a Peter and that some men of God or prophets or even Brother Branham, but that the Lord has anointed these men and that He spoke through them. William Branham and Paul had absolutely nothing to say to me, but God had much and everything to say to me through all the prophets and all the apostles up to Brother Branham. And this we can distinguish very well and are grateful to God for it with all our hearts. Because it is written here, "Which I have spoken unto you." What did our Lord say? "Don't you worry what you shall say, for it is the Spirit of my Father who will give you the words which you shall speak." And it says time and again, in each of the seven church messages, "He that has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches." Not what this brother or this brother, but there where God speaks, there God's word is. And there where God's word is, there's the revelation of God and also the knowledge of God. It continues here, "Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me." This abiding in the Lord, the abiding in His word, this we want to take to heart and say, "O God, make this word true in my life. Place me in you. Keep me in you. May your life come into all the branches so that the divine fruit can be manifested. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing." We all know it very well. When in springtime the life comes into the trees, the tree itself can do nothing, but the roots are in the earth, and the sap comes through the roots, up under the bark, and then comes into the branches. Beloved, we must be rooted in the Word of God. We must be anchored, taking our stand in God and in His kingdom, and no longer be tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. Rooted, deeply rooted in the Lord, firmly established to stand, so that through the roots the divine life can come. Christ is the root of David, the bright morning star. He is the vine, and we are the branches on him. And we believe that it will never wither, never dry up, but that it will always give new life sap to all who abide in him. And that by it we are enabled to bring forth fruit. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide not in me, being first in him, but not abiding in him, taken out, thrown away, and burned. What good was it to have been once in him? To have believed once upon a time. We have to believe until the end, believing every word of God, so that we are not cut off from the divine life, but that we have the connection to God. Why did we emphasize it from the beginning? That it's important to get the connection to the working of God and to be in the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God, that's how we said it. And the Lord said it as the first. It doesn't come with observation. One cannot say it's here or there. It's within you, and then it will be manifested that it is within us, and that we may be in this kingdom. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. This I wish for myself and for all of us, who we lean on God, who we believe his word, who we take upon ourselves reproach and shame. And I had to think on our Lord. He was so scarred that one didn't even want to look at him. He, the Redeemer, the King of Kings, is described to us in Isaiah 53 as someone whom the people despised, as someone whose appearance was totally scarred, and yet he went to redeem you and me. He has taken everything upon himself. He let everything do with him. And then, when it looked like that he was defeated, when it looked like that all the others have won, that an end was made to him, right at that moment, when, humanly seen, everything was at the end, God has given in Christ the mightiest victory over all the power of Satan, over hell, and has given a total redemption by his grace. Why shall we not believe that the Lord, in the redeemed, at the end, can give a divine, a total victory? Not what we want to do, but what God can do by his grace, according to his word, and through His Spirit in us and through us. In verse 9 it says, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Most certainly our Lord did not laugh. He was a man of sorrow, and He was on His way to Golgotha. It's a difference between an outward joy and the deep inner joy of God, which fills our hearts in the most inside, so that the flow of the divine power is ensured, and we by grace can blossom out. And also that what we read earlier, that we then can ask whatever we like, and it will be given to us. We know a request must be in the will of God according to the Word of God. And if it is, God will hear it, and by grace He will grant it for what we supplicate to Him. Our joy shall be full in our God. What is not yet is perhaps in the process of being manifested. With the Lord, it was also a process, a development. But then, when He died and when He was buried and went down to hell and rose on the third day, the joy was not only in Him, but also in all them who have seen and heard Him after His resurrection. They were glad, that's how it is written, when they saw the Lord. Beloved, there is a divine, a deep joy which nobody can take from us. It is independent of life and death, independent of all circumstances. It was given to us by God. A joy in the Lord, which is our strength. I still want to come back to Ephesians 1 and read a bit on from last night. Here it says, from verse 9, this we read already, having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He has purposed in Himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in Him. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. that we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ. In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. This word shall also touch our hearts, not only having believed, but, as Brother Branham lines out in the sermon, that God gives the believer the answer, and that it's not just an anointing which enables us to spiritually do something, but that it could be a seal of God, a sealing with the Holy Spirit. This is the big difference, which we of course see, especially in this time. Millions boast to have received the Spirit of God and to be anointed with the Holy Spirit. But the question comes up, who was sealed? Who has received the Word of God as the plain truth, not adding anything to it? For as sure as the Word came from the Spirit, so the Spirit comes into those who receive the Word of God in them. And the prophet Isaiah says, to seal the Word in the hearts of the disciples. It is about the Word, which must be in you and in me. Not about you and about me, then it would be an anointing which could come upon all of us, as it came upon many already and will still come. But when the Word of God, which came from the Spirit of God and which was revealed by the Spirit of God, when it's planted in your and my heart, then the Spirit of God comes to seal you and me because of the Word which we received. This is the divine connection, and this is the seal of God. Otherwise, as already said, it's an anointing, and in the end it's of no use at all. Then at the most we can say, Lord, have we not done this and that in your name? And the Lord would have to say to us, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity, I don't know you. No, it's about more. It's about a thorough work of God in all who want to stand their ground before God. And to speak with John 15, every branch on him which brings forth fruit, he will revive anew. He will give it new life sap, so that it can bring forth more fruit. And then we are led from clarity to clarity and from glory to glory. If we have been placed into this divine program, as it is written here, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. If you would know how many don't even believe in predestination, then you would be frightened. If we don't believe in predestination, how can we then even be placed into God's predestinated counsel? Even of our Savior, it is written that he was predestinated. Perhaps for those who are not so familiar with it, one should actually read it. Here, in the book of Acts, in chapter 2, from verse 22, "Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God." By the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God has raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. For David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover also my flesh shall rest in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance." Oh, how wonderful are all the words of God. When we read in John 17, there our Lord prays, "Glorify me with the glory which I had with thee before the world was, before heaven and earth were, before even anything came into existence. God purposed from eternity his counsel and summarized it in Jesus Christ, his Son, and through him making us his sons and daughters. Here we read, "In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will." Nothing is coincidence. Everything is determined and led by God. We believe that he has predestinated us to hear his word in these days, having predestinated us to believe him and to be placed into his kingdom and to receive his word. If we can believe that we were predestinated, then let us also believe that to this divine predestination belongs also the seal of God, that the Holy Spirit, who has given the word and who revealed it to us, that he comes upon us, and that we, by the same Spirit who rested on all prophets, who rested on our Lord and on all the apostles, that this Spirit of God could not only testify that we are children of God, but that He could press the seal of God on all who are of God's possession. Also about this, Brother Branham has spoken. He made a comparison how a seal is applied after everything was set in order and was checked, and the inspector comes and says everything is correct, and then a seal is applied which may not be opened until it arrived at the destination. People who have been sealed with the Holy Spirit, they don't leave and return tomorrow, but they abide in God forever. What people do is temporal, is timely. People change always their mind. Today they're 100% convinced of that, and this is also 100% right. And tomorrow they are 100% convinced that it was not right. But God is not a man that He changes His mind. He has made a firm decision, and this He carries out. Blessed is the man who can believe with all his heart to have been predestinated. God has shown us the way of life. Also us. The woes of death cannot hold us. Our Lord has overcome everything. He defeated everything. And together with Him, we will be in glory. And we will see what we believed here, and perhaps even more. Because that what we think to know here is just a little in comparison to the glory which will be manifested on us. In verse 12 it says that we should be to the praise of His glory who first trusted in Christ. Precious heart, on what, on whom did you put your trust? On a man? Then you will be put to shame. If you have put your trust in the grace of God, in the Lord, your Savior, then you will not be put to shame. For thus it is written, whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed. So, predestinated according to the counsel of His will, having put our hope in Him. And then comes this mighty sentence, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. As already said, this is the difference between anointing and sealing. The anointing comes upon all. The sealing comes only on the predestinated ones, on the elect, on those who have part in the first resurrection, who can believe with all their hearts that they were decreed and ordained by God to it, namely to see His glory. Just believe it today with all your heart. Don't be foolish or humble unnecessarily. Nobody shall think by himself, Should I claim that for myself? Why not? I want to claim everything what God has ordained for me by believing it. Up to the verse from 1 John chapter 3, verse 3, that we will be like Him. It does not yet appear what we shall be, but when He shall appear, then we will be like Him. For me, on one hand, humanly seen, incomprehensible. But what has my human consideration to do with the kingdom of God and with the divine facts? Let us leave the human for the human realm and the divine for every divine realm. Let us believe in the presence of God that what God has said, and it will be given to us. We just have to get used to it, that we leave the human things in the human realm and the divine in the divine realm. Is it hard for you to believe? Looking up to God, that He has the power to transform us, and that we one day will appear in the image of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, before His throne. I tell you, the surprise when we will be taken out from this wretched tabernacle and cross over into the glorified body, it will be very great. This one has to experience once to know what it means. All these things are divine realities. They are facts. They will be manifested on us as sure as God said it in His Word. And this we want to take to heart. And by believing it, honoring the Lord. For without faith, it is impossible to please God. And you all know what is written. Whoever does not believe God makes him a liar. And this may it be far from us to make God a liar. No, we believe that He said the truth. We believe that His word is the truth, and that we received and accepted the truth, and that it has set us free, and that we were washed by the washing of the word, purified in the blood of the Lamb, a possession of God for time and for eternity, predestinated after the counsel of His will to be a firm part of His kingdom or of the church of the living God. May the Lord help us who we have received His word by faith, the gospel of the kingdom, and also about this we have spoken from Matthew 24 verse 14. The gospel of the kingdom must be preached to all nations for a witness, not only a gospel, but the gospel, which includes everything what belongs to the kingdom of God. And we believe that in these days it has happened and is still taking place. That to the everlasting gospel nothing can be added anymore, but also that nothing may be taken away from it. May God make people out of us who believe Him, who trust Him, who are available for Him, who are living branches on Him, the vine, who bear His fruit, who preach His word, people in whom His power can become mighty, and not only can, but will be mighty. our Lord was predestinated to suffer, to die. We are predestinated through his suffering and dying to become sons and daughters of God. Just imagine, he was predestinated to suffer, predestinated to die. You are predestinated to live and to be in glory with him. Oh, how different are the roles and the tasks. But thanks be to our God, who has been gracious to us. You and I, we had to be predestinated to suffer and to die. Let me tell it to you, we were sentenced to death. But he took our place. He paid the price. And when we were reading these words here, they really touched my heart. That he was predestinated to suffer. As written here, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. He was delivered to suffer, to endure, to die. But all this happened for a great eternal purpose, to redeem you and me. As I said many times, he went down to hell so that we can go up into heaven. And here it says, God has raised him, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. He has said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. How could the life have been holden by death? Life has swallowed up death. Death, where's thy sting? Hell, where's thy victory? Thanks be to God, who has given us the victory through Jesus Christ our Lord. These are divine facts. We are redeemed. Death is overcome. Hell is defeated. We are ordained to be sons and daughters of God. And this throughout all eternity. Also this touched my heart. Thou wilt not leave my soul in hell. And then thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. You have shown me the way of life. Hallelujah. In the midst of death, showing the way of life. Beloved, as Paul said, if we die with him, we shall also live with him. We must, in the midst of death, we must recognize that there is the way of life. In the midst of our dying, we see or experience it, that we are placed on the way of life. May the Lord God, all these precious words, may he lay them into our hearts, that they are joined with us, that we are rooted in them, yes, that we are grown together, that God's word could become a firm part in us, inseparable forever. For this we are determined. If my words abide in you, and ye abide in me, precious children of God, the people of the Lord is determined that God's word abides in us. And as we mentioned last night, all who were in the kingdom of God were in it because They carried the word in them which was in the connection with the kingdom of God. Would we have anything heard of John if he would not have been ordained that through him God's word is being fulfilled beside all the others? We are not just observers in the kingdom of God. We have part in everything what God does. May the Lord show us the way of life, that we are filled with joy in His presence. May God bless us all. Amen. Let us stand up. Let us bow our heads and remain in silent prayer before God. Perhaps somebody is here to whom the Lord has spoken. Precious heart, He calls. He calls you. He calls you today. Everyone who hears His voice, do not harden your heart. Let us open ourselves and say, Lord, You were predestinated to walk the shameful way of suffering up to the cross, and hast predestinated us to see Your glory. Who can understand it? Who can comprehend the love of God? Everything happened because of me and because of you. Receive God's offer of grace. If He would have had more to offer, He would have done it. He did everything possible to reconcile us with Himself and to prepare the way back into His glory. He did it, but everyone has to walk the way themselves. And for this, the Lord calls us today. As our heads are bowed and as we are in prayer, I would like to ask whether somebody is here who would like to dedicate his life to God. Just raise your hand wherever you are. Thank you. Somebody else. The Lord bless you. Heavenly Father, we come into Your presence as a needy people, as people who would have no possibility at all to come to you if you would not have come to us. O Lord, if you would not have come from heaven down to this earth, then no one could go from this earth into heaven. Faithful God, in the midst of death, the way of life was shown to us. Thank you, O great God. How wonderful are you! Oh, the love of God, so full and free, from ancient times and always new. Lord, save the lost, heal the sick, deliver those who are bound, confirm thy word as being true in us and through us. We lay all before you who have raised their hands to you. You know what touches them. Also those who have come already to you, Lord, draw them closer to your heart, to your cross. Surround us with your love. Oh, veil us in. Overshadow us so that we feel well and safe in your presence. O Lord my God, together we ask you, be merciful to us. Forgive, heal, save, crown with your mercy and loving kindness. Lord, we ask you also for the true sealing with your Spirit, O God. Let the hour come in which it will be manifested that you come over the people who have received your word. Oh, that the difference is made manifest between them who believe your word and who believe the interpretations. Lord, we wait for you. Oh, I want on that day to lead some souls to you who through the gospel came to you. Lord, we ask you together, be merciful to us. And if it is thy will, give us once more a moving of thy Spirit that goes beyond our understanding, accompanied by thy divine love, which overwhelms all of us. Lord, we pray, bless all who are in trouble, all who have written, all who need prayer. Oh, we ask you, be nigh to your people, stretch forth to them thine pierced hands, and bless them. Savior, I commit to you all brothers and all sisters. I bear them on my heart. O great God, may your reward be gathered in, and a rich harvest of souls still come into your kingdom. All things are possible for you. We believe that you will do it, and all who are already your possession, may you keep them as branches in you, divine. O God, purge us that we can bring forth more fruit. Don't cut us off and don't throw us away. My God, revive us. penetrate us. We ask you, faithful Master, you are nigh to us. You are a great and wonderful God. Thanks be to you, the Lamb of God, that you walked to Golgotha for the redemption through your blood, for the justification, for everything what you have given. Lord, thankful we want to receive it today by faith. It is finished. We are redeemed. We are your possession. You have predestinated us to see your glory. Loosen us from the earth. O Lord, do something in all of us by your grace. Worship and honor and praise and glory be to you, O God. Faithful God, we thank you with all our hearts for your precious and holy word, for the blessing that we received this morning. And we ask you, be now with us, Lord, also at the water baptism. Bless them who are going to be baptized. You call, you draw, Lord. Our efforts are inadequate. It's still the time of grace. We can still come, Lord. Your arms are still stretched out. You call all. You don't want that people get lost. You have sent your word in our days, and you make us well, and you save and you heal, Lord. To your name be the glory. Now we ask you, be merciful to us, also at the water baptism. In Jesus' name, amen.